Hello and welcome to Irreverent Testimony, brought to you by Netroots Radio, the political podcast by and for millennial and Gen Xer types. From a left-winged perspective, we are broadcasting live from Shenanigans in Lakewood, Colorado, a meeting of the Young Dems.
And the old Republicans.
We'll get to that. In Jefferson County, here just west of Denver. We'll have some folks joining us. I have with me Cortland Coffey. He's been on the podcast before, fresh from the DNC. He's going to give us some stories about that.
Howdy, howdy.
And our new friend Casper. Casper, if you can introduce yourself. He is running as a Republican for CD1 here in Colorado. Tell us about yourself and what you're doing.
Yeah. So my name is Casper Stockham. I'm running as a Republican against Diana DeGette in CD1. And CD1 is a predominantly Democrat, predominantly progressive area in Denver, so they say I have my job cut out for me.
Yeah,
she's in my seat.
So Casper, I do appreciate you kind of walking into the lion's den here,
and
and telling us what you're about, and we want to talk to you and get your perspective and maybe debate a little bit.
Absolutely.
I decided to press record when you guys were kind of arguing a second ago. Yeah. So Casper, tell us your platform. Why you decided to run? Why you decided to run as a Republican?
Yeah.
And why you came here tonight trying to convince some of us young Democrats in Jefferson County?
Sure. So as you could probably tell, I'm not your typical Republican. I'm black, for one. But
yes.
I believe that we need to do a lot more talking and reaching across the aisle.
Okay.
And that's not just lip service. I believe that. I took my libertarian opponent out to lunch. I bought him lunch because I wanted to pick his brain and hear what he was about. He's a nice guy.
Who is that? Who is that opponent? That's in the DeGette race?
No. Yes. His name is Daryl Dinkins. Yeah.
Daryl Dinkins was the mayor of New York.
No,
in the 80s.
No. Not mayor. Not, no. Not that one. This is a white guy.
Okay.
Here in Denver. His name is Daryl.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, it's just we need to do more of that. Whether we agree or disagree, at the end of the day, we still need to do more of that. And I believe that my opponent would never do something like this on the other side. If there's a meeting like this in a pub on the other side of town of Republicans, she would never go in and talk to them about whatever, anything.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's fair enough.
And I hear that. But from conversations that we've had throughout tonight, I turn this down a little bit because it's freaking me out here. conversation we've had throughout tonight is yes, you are anti-establishment. You are anti the powers that be and all those things.
The man.
But I haven't heard Republican values from you, and you're confusing me because you don't seem to really be a Republican, and it seems strange that you would be running as a Republican.
Yeah.
And tell me what connects you to the Republican Party that allows you to run?
Sure. So first of all, there's no such thing as Republican values. Neither party has any values, Democrat or Republican.
I disagree.
Okay, that's fine, but I'm telling you, they don't. They are political parties, and there is just as much diversity in the Republican Party, not so much skin color, but I'm talking about a thought that there is in the Democrat Party. And most of the things that you believe that are Republican are not. They're things that you believe the Republicans stand for, but most Republicans I talk to don't stand for the things that you are talking about. So
when we talk about the Republican values, right, the law and order, the Jim Crow, the back to family.
Okay, stop
values.
For a second. Jim Crow was not a Republican idea, it's not a Republican thought, and it was never created by Republicans. That was created by Democrats,
well,
not Republicans.
Well, true, but when Strom Thurmond brought all the Dixiecrats over to the Republican
switch.
Party,
the big switch never happened.
The
big switch never happened.
Okay, so what I'm saying is, okay, so anti-immigrant, pro-life, anti-choice, anti-LGBT. Those are values
pro-voter ID.
Those are pro-voter ID,
voter
suppression.
Values.
Those are values of the Republican Party.
No, they're not. They're not.
How do you...
Let's take it one at a time, and I'll explain it.
Take
it one at a time, because you mentioned like five or six.
Okay, anti-choice. Take away a woman's right.
Okay, so...
That's not a pro-life, or that's not a Republican
value. I don't know of
value.
Any Republican that I support that would ever take away a woman's right to anything. I have three daughters, three granddaughters, a wife, and I don't have any say of anything that they do. I'm not trying to take anything away from them.
But you've read the Republican platform at the RNC, right? It very explicitly states that they want to overturn Roe v. Wade.
Okay, so now overturning Roe v. Wade is not in your mind, I guess it translates into taking something away. But it doesn't, in my mind, represent taking a woman's right to whatever away. Now, we could argue that point. You can say, well, yeah, it does. You know, they can't, you know, so they want the woman in the kitchen barefoot and pregnant and whatever and all this other stuff.
And similar to things your nominee has said.
Now, me personally, I am not trying to overturn Roe v. Wade. What I want to do is have transparency in the abortion process. I'm not trying to...
what does that mean exactly?
What it means is, first of all, we have to agree or admit that we are terminating a life. It's not a fetal tissue. It's life.
Okay, so, well, see, then we disagree on the what the definition of life is. If you're saying you believe that life begins at conception, or that
I don't care when life begins. What we are terminating is a baby in some stage of development.
Yeah, but the Republican platform states that life begins at conception. So you're talking about a fertilized egg, a microscopic group of cells is being equivalent to life.
Every stage of abortion.
Let me ask you a question.
After
if
conception
that egg,
is...
If that egg was found on Mars, what would we call it?
If that egg was found on Mars.
On Mars, what would we call it?
If the germs on my hands from this bar were found on Mars, they would be called life. But
that doesn't mean that I'm not going to wash
my hands.
Hold on. So it's life if it's on Mars. If the sperm was found on Mars, what would it be called?
If the sperm was found on Mars, then I would think that the first astronauts had some strange priorities.
Okay, you're taking it way... You know what I'm saying. It's life.
I know what you're saying. But what I'm saying is what you're talking about life... there is living organisms on my hands right now. I'm still going to wash my hands after I take a shit.
Are those living organisms going to turn into your next child?
No. But,
well,
but your
maybe
point
your next
is
child
still
because you
your point is still subject to the fact that because something is living per se does not mean it has rights as an individual.
All I'm saying is that life form is going to grow into a human being. So
potentially, but it's the same with every time a woman ovulates or a man ejaculates.
What is it not going to grow into? Is it going to grow into something else?
Well, there's thousands of conceptions that are naturally released from the body of a woman and
a man. Okay, so but that's not what we're talking about, guys. We're talking about a pregnancy,
okay.
not anything else. We're talking about a pregnancy.
So we could do an hour on pro-life, pro-choice. So you're obviously pro-life. That's one value.
I'm pro-voice. I'm actually pro-voice, not pro-life or pro-choice. I'm pro-voice.
What does that mean exactly?
Pro-voice means that if that form is a life, which I believe it is, then it should have a voice in its destruction.
What about the woman's voice? Especially,
woman's voice is important. All voices are, like I said, pro-voice. All voices are important. The woman's voice and the baby's voice.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to have a debate about this for an hour.
Okay. What's the next one?
So what's the next? LGBT issues. Obviously, okay. your party, the Log Cabin Republicans, of which I have a good friend who is a Log Cabin Republican.
And I was at their meeting about 4 or 5 days ago.
They said in their statement during the RNC that this year's Republican platform was the most anti-LGBT platform to ever come out of the Republican Party.
And by the way, let me say this on record. I'm not excited about all the parts of the Republican platform. Okay. I was about the one a couple years ago, but this one to me is a little extreme.
No, I thought the one in 2012 was fairly extreme, but okay.
Okay, but this one is more extreme, and I would agree with that.
Yeah,
okay,
it's
so
the most anti-LGBT.
Okay, fine.
So,
but I'm not.
So values, obviously pro-life. We've decided that. So
pro-voice.
Now, pro-voice.
I guess my question is, since that is part of the RNC platform, which you acknowledge, how is that not considered then a Republican value?
Because from my perspective as a Christian, Republicans or Democrats don't have a value.
Okay.
Or they can walk out different values, but the party itself is not you know, I don't say, oh, well, that's a Republican value or that's a Democrat value. No, it's either a right or wrong value, or it's in or it's not kind of thing. But it's not, it has nothing to do with party. It's what some people in the party believe. Maybe it's the majority of people in the party believe it.
Yeah.
But it's not a Democrat or a Republican value.
Well, I guess we're getting into semantics here, but if it becomes part of the Republican platform at the RNC, then for me it's sort of hard to, like I said,
I disagree with some of that.
Okay.
So, but I disagree with some of the stuff on the Democrat platform as well.
Well, sure. So do I. Much less of it than on the Republican side.
I would. I think it's fair to say that there are things the Democrat Party believes in, or belief system, whatever you want to call it. There are some things that you don't personally agree with, and there's things on the Republican ticket or platform that I do not agree with.
Okay.
Okay.
So I guess that can lead into an interesting discussion in terms of what specific parts of the Republican platform, or that is... if we're not going to call it a Republican value, let's call it sort of a Republican mainstay in Republican thought.
Okay.
Sort of things that made the RNC platform what a lot of the and Rachel has just joined us here on the podcast.
I'm so sorry. Hang on one second. Let me get my headphones on.
You missed the best part of the discussion that we might get back to.
In terms of choice. So, all right, let me...
But my question to Casper was, so other parts of the Republican platform that maybe you don't necessarily agree with and would like to see changed?
Yes.
Besides maybe the harsh anti-LGBT bent of typical Republican orthodoxy?
I don't believe... I believe that part of the platform was a knee-jerk reaction to some things that happened, different bills, and some of the things that the POTUS... put forth.
But that's not new, though.
Hang on.
So I think it was a knee-jerk reaction. I don't believe that it should have been done like that. I have no challenges with LGBTQ people. I drive them around all night long. I was talking to the lady that was here earlier.
You were.
I'm gonna
put you on the spot a little bit.
Put me on the spot.
You and I have talked a lot tonight, and I'm gonna ask you. Mm-hmm. Specifically about LGBT rights.
Okay.
So you've met me. Mm-hmm. You know me.
I don't know you yet.
Well, okay. But you, I think, know me a little bit.
All right.
And you, I'm a member of that community. I'm a bi girl.
Okay.
And so I want to understand how you feel about your role in the LGBT community in the Republican Party.
Yeah.
So, and what that means and how we go forward, because he has failed us.
Who?
Completely.
Who?
Trump.
Trump has failed?
Completely failed.
How can he fail? He's not even president yet. How can he fail you?
He has failed. No, that's a bullshit answer. He has failed us because he has said... things that don't make sense to my community.
Every politician I've listened to has said things that don't make sense.
No. You understand, as a human being, and I'm looking at your face right now.
Brenna has just joined us, by the way.
You don't think that Donald Trump has represented my LGBT community.
He hasn't represented me.
He hasn't represented you either. I don't know why you're a Republican, sir.
I mean, did you hear his speeches
today?
I kind
of love you, but what we're talking about...
Well, I'm going to get to that.
What we're talking about right now is LGBT issues. Uh-huh. So let's talk about that stuff. Let's talk about that stuff. So, okay. So
we now have a live audience, by the way.
And he said, hey, you know, this, I said some stuff that pissed people off, and I'm sorry about that.
Is there a question in there somewhere?
Yeah. So
what is it?
How do you feel as a person who is a minority inside a minority, which I am too, I would say. How do you feel about Trump saying, oh, well, it's fine.
What's fine?
Well, 1 second. We have a new guest that's just joined us. Can you say your name?
Hi, my name's Kevin.
Kevin, nice to meet you.
I thought it was something else before. What was it over there?
No, so,
it was Kevin.
What it is. Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. I'm sorry.
So when Trump says these awful things,
like
about
what?
Women,
like what?
Like what?
I know. Every time he opens his mouth, he says something awful. He's an awful man.
He is. So what? So are you trying to say that you love him?
No, I hate him.
Oh, you hate him.
Yeah, okay, but I hate Hillary as just as much.
Let's not argue. Let's not argue.
But I don't like her.
Would you agree, for better or for worse, that Trump is the party standard bearer, being the Republican nominee for president?
He is the one that that got the nomination for the Republican Party. Well, and there's a lot of Republicans that are not happy, by the way.
Fair enough. Okay. True.
All right.
True.
So if he was just like, just now, he did win, but there's probably 30% of Republicans that don't. Are not
yes,
happy.
There's the Never Trump movement. There were Republicans that are not disavowing Republican
and
identity.
And I get on the Republicans
because
when Hillary won the nomination and Bernie kind of sailed off or uh-huh. rode off into the sunset, uh-huh. The Democrat Party came together like they always do every year.
More or less, sure.
Well, even if they're
except
not together.
For 1968.
But they never. You don't see publicly a Democrat senator or a congressperson speaking bad about Hillary. They just don't say anything. Now, privately in a session, they may be very talking about it, but in a public setting, they're like, oh, no, I'm not saying nothing.
Right? Okay, well,
but
the Democratic Party has always been a party that has an enormous amount of diversity within the party in terms of just an enormously diverse amount of views,
I know,
right?
And I agree.
And so the fact that the Democratic Party rallied to the center around the nominee is entirely unsurprising because that's
I think it's beautiful.
Democratic
it's a beautiful
Party
thing. I
does.
Tell the Republicans they need
except
to do the same thing. No, I get it. I think it's awesome.
The Republicans did not do the same thing. That's bullshit. They did not come
I didn't
to
say
his...
they did. I said I tell them they need to. They need to come together.
Do you think that Republicans should come to Donald Trump the way that Democrats have come to Hillary?
If he's going to be the nominee, of course. Just like on the other side.
That's what you really think. You really think that black Americans should come to Trump
Hold on a second.
I didn't say black Americans. I said
black
the Republican
Americans
Party.
Should rally around their nominee.
Regardless of your color, if you are a Republican and you call yourself a Republican, that you need to rally around.
But you just said yourself that you can't stand the guy.
No.
So
I can't stand Hillary either, so I'm going to rally around her?
No. What I'm saying is that's
Jill
bullshit.
Stein 2016?
That's bullshit.
Which one?
What I'm asking you is, why are you rallying against or with this person who hates you?
He doesn't hate me. I've actually met him, by the way.
You met him.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Tell me the story.
My bad.
I don't know what I was thinking. Always go with the story that is the story.
And he patted me on my head and told me.
Are you fucking kidding me right now?
Yes, I am.
He patted you on the head.
He is kidding. But
it
sounded completely plausible,
I'm kidding you. I'm kidding you.
And he said, here's my African American.
Are you
going
to be okay?
Right?
Yeah, here's my African American.
No, I'm not. No.
You're not going to be okay? I'm sorry.
No, did you actually meet Donald Trump in person?
Okay. I took a picture with him. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. I'm fine. Go ahead.
So, what?
So, well, I'm just trying
to
square.
She hasn't asked me a question yet. She just went on her rant.
My question is why? Okay. Here's my question.
Please.
If you could choose between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton for president, who would you choose and why?
So, we are going to have to hold our nose and vote this year.
Yeah.
Both sides. If you believe that your candidate is clean, honest, decent person, then you're not paying attention. Now, Donald Trump is not that either. I'm not saying he is and she isn't. But both sides are going to have to hold our nose this year. I have never been able to vote for a president and not had to hold my nose. Ever. Ever.
Okay.
And I'm 56 years old.
Okay, fair enough.
So to your question, I'm going to vote for Trump only because...
You're going to vote for Trump. Are you fucking kidding me right now? Hold on. Back up. You're voting for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead. That's never going to make sense to me, but go ahead.
There's a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense to me. Guess what? I've been around this 56 years. You know how much stuff doesn't make sense to me anymore?
Now, how have you always considered yourself in your political life a Republican?
No.
Okay. No, he's not a fucking Republican.
No.
Okay.
You're up until about 14 months ago, I was registered unaffiliated.
Okay.
I am not happy with either side. I left the Democrat Party when I was about 20-ish.
Okay.
And I didn't go to Republicans. I went to unaffiliated because
okay.
I was not happy with either side.
Okay, and why in the last 14 months then have you decided to
because
call
when
yourself
I was
a Republican?
Asked to run, and I was at this is not my idea, believe it or not. I was asked to run because I'm a political consultant.
Okay.
And they knew my value system and all that stuff. So when I did that, I have to choose what side or what party I was going to choose.
Right.
I could have ran as a libertarian. I would have got no support. No financial support. I could have ran.
And the same as running as an independent?
Right. As okay. independent, same thing. There's no foundation to run as an independent or as a libertarian.
So you're
now,
sort
of
in.
To run
as a Democrat. To run as a Democrat.
No support,
hold on.
He asked me a question.
To run as a Democrat,
so mad at you
I could have
right
ran
now.
In a primary.
Yeah.
And I would have done better than Chuck. Okay. However, I still would not have won because Chuck, I think he only raised like maybe $5,000 or something like that.
Okay.
But he didn't get the support from the establishment because she's the establishment candidate.
Yeah.
Had I run, I would also have not gotten the support of the establishment. I would also not have gotten the support of the black and well, I may have gotten the endorsement of the black community, but I wouldn't have gotten any money because they don't have any.
You'd never know, because you did.
Yeah, I know. I talk to them all the time. They don't have any money. Go ahead.
I just want to go back, though, to the fact that you were talking about holding your notes for president.
Rachel has stormed off, by the way.
Because
she's mad.
When it comes down to it, right, I'm going to be holding my nose this November when
Thank
I vote
you.
For Hillary.
Thank
all right?
you.
I'm not going to deny that.
We're on the
all
same
right?
page.
I am a progressive at heart, all right? Hillary Clinton is a centrist candidate.
Yeah.
She would be a center-right candidate in any country
yeah,
aside
but,
from
but,
the
but
States.
She's adopted a very progressive platform.
She had to.
Oh, no,
she had
no
to.
Entirely. To bring the people like
the
me
Bernie Sanders
who have been in the Sanders camp for the entire time,
and
she is
so Kevin, so you would think that in her heart of hearts, though, she's a right-leaning centrist. Then is that what
I
you're
mean?
Saying?
Based on the standard of like European or countries that I would consider more advanced than the United
well,
States,
well,
because
sure, but if she's adopted,
but
an
in the
extremely
States, she's a center-left politician, I would argue.
Okay,
and
but
she
but
has,
if she's if she's adopted, and we have Brenna joining us again, if she's adopted a very progressive platform, what you'd have to agree is probably the most progressive presidential platform in modern
she
history.
She had to.
Totally.
She
totally.
Had to.
But okay, whether she had to or not, or whether that's what she believes in her heart of hearts, if that's the platform she's adopted, and she will, you believe that she'll most likely govern in that fashion, nominate Supreme Court justices in that fashion, then what's the difference?
No, I totally agree. What I was sort of going towards was entirely different than that, because I totally agree with all of that stuff. You know, she has adopted a platform that's far more progressive than she is as a person, I would argue, but doesn't matter because right now she is moving in the direction of the party, which is more progressive than her.
Yeah.
However, the thing that I think is super important in looking at that, right, is that when I kind of hold my nose at her and her own policies, I also don't have to worry about the fact that she's a fucking qualified politician, and I have no issue voting for her as someone who is a highly qualified woman running for office, right?
Yeah.
Whereas Donald Trump is just a fucking shit stain on the ass of the Republican Party that just, you know, and I'm sorry. But like,
Don't be sorry.
Listen, he is the Tea Party monster.
He is not. Please do not put him on.
He's not a Tea Party monster.
He's not a Tea Party.
How is he different from the Tea Party?
He's like night and day different than Tea Party.
Really?
He's not a part of the Tea Party.
Well, no, he's not
so much,
part of it,
but
he's adopted
the monster that came out of Fox News and the Tea Party of the last 8 years. I mean, he's the natural outgrowth.
Can I tell you guys something?
In terms of racial.
Tell you guys something.
Yes.
The monster is not the Tea Party. I know you want to make the Tea Party a monster, but it's not. That's the challenge, and that's the intolerant challenge that I see a lot on this side. So I can sit here and listen to you talk about Donald Trump and not get offended because I'm not Donald Trump.
Totally.
I wouldn't be offended if you talked about me because I don't really care. I'm pretty confident in who I am as a person.
I mean, so, aside from when you're saying you're a Republican, when you describe your positions and shit, I'm totally there with you. I'm like, hell yeah. So so that's where I don't know why you're calling yourself a Republican.
This is where the disconnect comes with modern politics as far as Republicans versus Democrats is concerned, is everybody who's a Republican I've gotten in an argument with always makes a personal attack. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Democrats have fallen into that as well. A little bit, but not.
Did
the
you
way
just
the
not hear
have.
Kevin attack Trump and call him all kind of bad names?
That's not even close to the same. I'm not on this podcast. Sorry,
Dana has now sort of joined us.
I'm on social media every day, and I'd love for you guys to follow my Facebook page because I am attacked daily. Not by Trump haters.
Trumps.
No.
Well, sure, but that's par for the course if you're going to run for office.
I mean, there are trolls that attack Hillary.
No, this is before I ran for office. This is before I ran for office.
I mean, that's the internet, though. There's a lot of trolls out there.
People feel like it's okay to say whatever they want.
I'm attacked daily. And how I respond is how, in my opinion, decent people should respond. And that's how I respond. I can't speak for Trump. I don't speak for Trump. I would imagine you don't speak for Hillary.
No.
You speak
who
for yourself.
Can?
Who can?
Only
okay, who can speak for Trump?
Yeah.
Trump.
Nobody. Who can speak for Hillary? Nobody.
No. Well, his surrogates certainly do.
People who are the surrogates for Hillary believe that they are speaking in a way that they actually feel that they believe for their candidate, that they're actually saying the right thing.
Yeah.
The people who are the Trump surrogates
are
having a really hard time.
Here we go, see?
Well, that's a little bit to be said about Trump's campaign in general. He's never been entirely on one message, which, I mean, Hillary's shifted
over the board.
No.
That's why
he shifts more than she does, so that's
absolutely
why.
Absolutely.
It's hard for anybody to speak for either.
She's a politician.
I completely agree with you.
She's a politician.
But I believe that it's hard for me to be more poetic than Trevor Noah about the idea that the person who has the hardest job in the world is the person who has to try to make Donald Trump's message make fucking sense.
Yeah.
Well, what is the message besides?
I would have a really hard job doing.
Can we all agree that Donald Trump's message sucks?
It's convoluted.
Oh,
yes. Okay. Absolutely.
So now, can we move away from Donald Trump? Because I'm not Donald Trump.
No, but you're part of a party that supports Donald Trump.
I'm not voting for the party that supports Donald Trump.
Wait, are you voting for Donald Trump?
Yeah, he said he is.
Yeah, and Kevin's voting for Hillary. And I'm mad about that, but guess what?
But
you're voting for Donald Trump, but you're not voting for Donald Trump's message.
First of all, what you believe is Donald Trump's message is actually not Donald Trump's message.
Sounds like a thing Donald Trump would say.
Listen. No, hold on. Because Donald Trump doesn't know what his message is. So how do you know?
Exactly. Donald Trump doesn't even know what.
How does that earn your vote?
I hate Muslims.
That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing.
That's not Donald Trump's message.
But how does that earn your vote?
And now everyone freaks out and screams at the same time. I'm sorry. But
no, he knows what his message is. It's Donald
Trump. I have seen and experienced 30 plus years of Hillary Clinton's process.
You have for 30 plus years?
Yeah. And I'm not impressed.
For 30 plus years?
Yes, I'm not impressed.
You've watched 30 plus years of Hillary Clinton's process.
So she was a first lady. She was a senator. She's running for office.
That's her fucking resume.
Right.
Which
I'm not impressed.
Is what makes her qualified.
And I'm not impressed.
No. What you just said was that you have watched 30 years of her process, and then you described her resume.
Okay, I will change my word. But I watched 30 years of her resume, and I don't like it.
But okay,
we can go ahead and not like her all we want, but you can't say that you looked at her shit and said you didn't like it.
I don't like the smell of her stuff, okay?
But the point
I don't
is,
like
Greg,
that she's
that makes but, no but listen, fucking Greg, sense. That makes no fucking sense.
I can't tell you that I necessarily want to go grab a beer with Hillary right. and chat about life. Like, you know, I don't know if I don't know if she and I listen to the same music or whatever people talk about and all that shit. I don't know if we'd get along as people. Right. But what I can tell you is that she is a fucking qualified politician. She
Absolutely.
Is running on a progressive.
Is that what we want? A qualified politician?
Yes.
Is that not what you want?
Well, I want the most qualified politician to be the most powerful politician in the world.
I don't.
Yes, I do.
You want somebody who doesn't know what they're doing, who's going to offend every country, who's going
to
come attack us
somebody to shake things up, like Bernie was talking about. I want somebody to change things up because I am not impressed with the government.
Okay, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Because I would like, hold on a second.
Travis out.
I would like Casper to expand on this idea because he's running for office himself. So when you say change things up, what specifically would you like to see change? And first, before we get back to the president, talk about your candidacy and what you want to change up.
Right. So I don't believe my opponent is helping the black and brown community. I believe that I don't want to call them policies because it's not going to come from the federal government. The answer is not the federal government. The answer is in the community. The answer is dealing with community leaders, working with them to lift people up out of poverty. Government has kept people in poverty. The reason why they keep them in poverty is because that's how they control them.
Okay.
And as soon as you teach a slave how to read, he's not a slave anymore. Because he's starting to lift himself up out of that. That's how Frederick Douglass did it. That's how all these slaves of the past did it. They taught themselves how to read and lift themselves up. Even Abraham Lincoln did the same thing.
Right.
So knowledge is very powerful. The people in the community are trapped in this systemic system that has been going on like that forever.
And what specific changes are you proposing?
Huh? What?
What specific changes are you proposing then to bring that to fruition?
Right. So the first thing is I'm going to start teaching the Constitution because I don't believe, and I talk to people in the community, and they don't believe the Constitution is written for them.
Okay.
They think it was written for everybody else, but
it's
them.
Not.
It was written for white. It was written for white landowning men. It totally wasn't written for black and brown people.
Thank you. So
white American
what Kevin just said is exactly what I get from the community. So let me tell you my answer.
Okay. I totally agree with you.
Okay, so hold on. Let me tell you my answer. So when immigrants come to this country, the first thing they do is they grab the Constitution because they have to actually study it to actually pass to become citizens.
Right. That's true.
Then they get busy. They come together. They form community groups. They go to a church setting or a local whatever background.
They learn to speak English.
They learn to speak
English.
Next thing you know, they're buying property and they're living out the American dream.
No, I couldn't disagree.
Well,
I couldn't disagree with you.
Okay,
here. I've worked with immigrant communities previously as a teacher, and they don't buy property because they can't get immigration.
They don't like what?
They don't buy property because they can't get in as a citizen, so they can't buy property. They live in poverty.
Well, not illegal citizens, but I'm talking about they go through the legal process.
That's not what we're fucking talking about.
That is what we're talking about.
No,
so,
no, it's what you were talking about.
But the immigration process is very
It sucks. I agree.
Right. It needs to be changed.
Yeah. And
okay.
I have solutions
for
that, too.
I want to get back and hear Casper out on the specific changes he's proposing at the community level.
Yeah, so again, I want to go in and teach the Constitution because I don't believe the people in the Constitution are the people in the community understand
their rights.
Their rights.
Is what you're saying.
So I want to teach them their rights.
Okay.
I also want to teach them, have workshops.
From
I want
to
work with community leaders. I'm already doing this, by the way.
I'm
working with... Working with like Dr. Daddio and other people in the community to teach youth how to get a job and how to hold a job.
Okay.
Because there are people that want the people in the community to work for $15 an hour, which is fine. I'm not trying to stop that. I'm not. Look, you want to work $15 an hour, knock yourself out. What I want you to do is think about maximum wage, not minimum wage.
Yeah.
Minimum wage keeps you at this level. That they can control you.
Well,
maximum wage lifts you up out of that.
But a living wage lifts everybody potentially out of poverty.
Absolutely
right?
True, because if you have a maximum, it doesn't mean that they're going to give you the maximum.
I'm
going to go socialist on here.
You're talking about people giving you something.
Right?
Nobody has to give me anything.
I will earn it.
I'm not looking for you or you to give me anything because of my skin color.
No,
because it's not because of your skin color. It's because of the work you do.
Because of the work. I'm saying you. Okay, who in here is disadvantaged in this little setting we're in? Who's more disadvantaged?
Well, I can name different reasons that different people in this room are disadvantaged.
Okay, so who's the most disadvantaged in this room?
Well, that depends because you're talking about an intersectional sort of lens, right? We could talk, the three of us at this table, right? You're a black man. Because of your skin color, you're facing a severe, you know, malignment on the sort of intersectional axis of oppression, right?
No,
you are maligned because of your skin color.
That's wrong.
But you are privileged because you are a man, all right? And I apologize. I presumed you heterosexual.
I'm not privileged in my household. My household is all women. So hey, I don't get this. I don't have no say.
Hey, I'm talking socially. I'm just saying. Okay.
It's socially at large, not within your actual family unit.
You are socially privileged as a man, and you are socially oppressed. You are socially marginalized in terms of the just talking about intersecting axes of oppression, right? You receive privilege as a man, but oppression as a black person, right?
And I disagree.
And so then we can also talk about this, right? Look to me, right? I am a queer transgender woman, all right? So from this, there is a whole bunch of shit. Like, don't even talk to me about how hard it is to get a job or any of that shit. But then I'm white.
Closer.
But then you're white.
I'm white. So at the same time, like, you know, the fucking shit that I have to deal with, it's nothing compared to women like me who are black and brown.
And how does society fix that?
Society doesn't fix that the way that it is. Society has done nothing for people like me, you know? The fact of the matter is, we have, in the last few years, attained a larger sort of level of visibility for trans people at large, which is incredible. But it doesn't change the fact, you know, the fact that Laverne Cox was on the front cover of Time magazine, Laverne Cox, a black trans woman who is an actress who came from a poor community, who, you know, has had way more shit than I would have had to deal with ever come her way, you know, was on the front cover of Time fucking magazine. Mm-hmm. The fact that Janet Mock is a staff writer for People
regardless of who we are, whether we're trans, whether we're straight, whether we're gay, whether we're black, whether we're white,
no,
people can rise out of that situation regardless of their status.
That's what I heard.
They can only rise to a certain level. We
can pull up two examples of these really powerful women. Laverne Cox, a black trans woman. Janet Mock, a black and native Hawaiian trans woman. Right? Incredible people who've done a lot of really powerful work in recent years, right?
Okay.
But at the same time, what they are is sort of showing that people exist on some level and being seen. But at the same time, last year, 25 transgender women were murdered in hate crimes in the United States. You think that sounds 25, maybe that's not too bad. Think about the number of people, though. Less than 0.7% of the United States population. 25 people were murdered in hate crimes.
That's horrible. Any murder is horrible.
That's two a month.
Any murder is bad. It's horrible. I don't care what your status is when it happens. It's bad.
But these women are singled out because they are trans and because they're
black. I get that as well. People are singled out all the time. If you walk in a black neighborhood and you're white, you might be singled out. If you walk in a white neighborhood and you're black, you might be singled out. So we get singled
because
out all the time.
Because I am visibly trans, I was chased out of a diner late at night in Bellingham, Washington, months ago.
Which is sad. But how does society fix that? How does a law fix that?
Oh, well, I see where you're going with this. And you know what? I think that, first of all, I think laws affect norms. And I think norms affect people's perceptions. And whether that's right or wrong or logical or not, I just think it's the reality. For instance, the Civil Rights Act, that was a big change.
Yeah.
You would have to say, right? Now, I understand a lot of libertarians sort of disagree with that and want to go to sort of the free market sort of fixing everything. But the reality is that
And the Civil Rights Act didn't fix anything.
Well, no, it didn't fix anything, but it was certainly a step in the right direction.
I'm going to go back to what I said earlier to you before we were on this podcast. Just Michelle Alexander's book, The New Jim Crow. It's been a hugely influential book in my own studies.
But
it's
really important. It sounds like to me that she has a bias and
no.
Because if you still believe that Jim Crow was some kind of Republican,
I'm not placing it as a partisan thing. The book, what it does is it shows how the United States after the Civil Rights Act took Jim Crow ideas, right? Mm-hmm. I.e. the suppression of the black vote in the South, right? And managed to keep black votes down through other means, like the fact that convicted felons. Oh wow! Convicted felons cannot vote in the any states in the country.
And I want to correct
country,
that.
Right?
I want to correct that.
I totally agree with you, but. You know, a huge part of the situation that we have there.
But those aren't, okay, so there are Republicans that believe that felons should not vote or whatever.
No,
right.
But there are also Democrats that believe that as well.
Totally.
And I personally, as a Republican, do not believe that after you have served your time, that you should not be allowed to
integrate into society.
Reintegrate into the system.
Yeah.
And become a full-fledged citizen again.
Sure.
The right to vote, the right to own a firearm, the right to own homes or whatever.
I mean, I'm going to probably talk to you about the firearm thing later, but
hold on a second. But wouldn't you agree, though, that on the whole, the Republican Party has done more to keep...
Since the Civil Rights Act.
I would disagree. And okay. Hold on. I would disagree. And my proof in my disagreement is who runs the inner cities in America.
Okay.
They're not run by Republicans.
But it's the inner cities.
But that's because of gerrymandered districts.
Hold on a second. The inner
but
cities.
Who gerrymandered
the inner cities don't determine whether former felons get the right to vote. Those are state legislatures.
Okay.
And so in a recent example, you have Terry McAuliffe, the Democratic governor of Virginia, who has tried to reinstate voting rights for former felons, and you have the Republican state legislature stepping in and blocking that.
Now, here's a unique thing about me. I don't really care about Republican, Democrat. I think that issue needs to be resolved. So I would probably would be going up against Republicans, if that's the case, fighting them for that, because that needs to be resolved.
Okay.
I'm not a partisan guy. I'm about a common sense solution guy.
Okay.
So if I have to go against my entire party, guess what? I really don't care. I've already made statements in this race that were, quote unquote, going against the establishment Republican Party. I don't care. I really don't. I want to make a change, a positive change in the community. I believe my opponent is not making positive changes because she's been in office for 20 years and nothing has changed. This is change 101.
Well, what specifically would you say, thank you. What specifically would you say that she has not done that she could be doing more effectively or better and that you would do differently if you... were elected into that position?
So, one of the things that she has not done is she goes to these minority organizations and she basically says, you know, I really want to help you guys, but I can't because Republicans are stopping me from helping.
Okay.
And if only we could get more Democrats, that would be that's the thing that just...
Okay, well what is the problem with that logic if, in theory, that these Democrats...
Because it's not true. It has nothing to do with Republican or Democrat. It has to do with people doing the right thing or doing the wrong thing.
Okay.
But everybody wants to put it into a nice little box.
Do you believe that you'd be able to convince your fellow Republicans then to vote on some of these measures that would specifically help in the inner cities?
Okay. In some cases, yes, and in some cases, no.
Okay.
I'm not running for Congress to try to change Washington. Washington is a cesspool, and it's been a cesspool forever.
Well,
Democrat and Republican.
If you're elected to Congress, you have to work in Washington D.C.
I'm just saying.
That's another question.
Like,
so let me answer
super,
that question. Why am I running for Congress?
Why am I running for Congress instead of City Council?
What he has got to say to that? Yeah.
City Council right now in Denver has like two maybe Republicans. Everybody else is Democrat.
Right.
In Denver.
Right.
Hold on. So even if I got elected as a Republican City Council person, nothing is going to get done that I think needs to be done. They're going to keep doing what they're doing already.
Wait, hold on a second, because you just said that we do too much polarization in terms of thinking in black and white in terms of a Republican or Democrat.
That's
so
correct.
If you propose legislation that you would think perhaps Democrats could get behind because it's the right thing and it actually benefits
people in the city. There are some legislative things that I want to do, but that's not the key to my campaign. I'm going to spend most of my time here,
okay,
in the community. I'm rolling up my sleeves and getting busy as a congressperson. Mm-hmm. As a citizen, I don't have a huge platform to do a lot of stuff. But as a congressperson, I do.
Okay.
I want to ask
about congressional policies. You keep talking about uplifting black and brown communities. And I'm like, this is a huge part of the work that I do where I'm living in Vancouver. Like, this is a huge thing that I'm involved with. I'm so fucking on board with that, all right? Like, completely.
Okay.
And so, you know, I want to be supporting you doing that, whether you're in Congress, City Council, or just a citizen, like, whatever, I want to be supporting you doing that.
Yeah.
So, as a congressperson, like, you're saying, I want you to vote for me as a congressperson, and what I want to know is, why the fuck do I vote for you as a congressperson when, you know, like, what are you going to do congressionally? Are you going to work on changing the law around guns, all right? Are you going to deal with the fact that we have a gun problem in this country and that it doesn't help communities of color, poor communities of color, that there are guns everywhere in this country and it contributes to the epidemic of gang violence? And are you going to work on the epidemic of police brutality against black and brown bodies in this country? Are you going to
We're going to have to take these one at a time. So,
to stop police officers from killing black and brown people, wear body cams or some shit.
Okay. So, one at a time. As far as you mentioned the fact that we got a gun problem.
Mm-hmm.
In the community, if you want a gun, you don't go to the gun store, the gun thing to get it. You go down the street and get it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So there's no gun law that would stop that.
No, wait.
Right?
Okay. There's not like a background check law that's going to stop you from buying a gun down the street. But what's going to stop you from buying a gun down the street if more background check laws are put in place is...
But Kevin,
wait. Because the reason that you can buy a gun on the corner, all right, isn't because of the lack of the background check, all right, or whatever, right? The reason that you can't buy, that you can buy a gun on the corner is because somebody who can...
But that's an illegal gun.
Wait.
That's an illegal gun.
But that gun is bought legally before it is bought illegally. That gun is bought
maybe
at a store.
Maybe not. We don't know.
Right.
We don't know.
And
Have gun laws right now that are not enforced. We have gun laws right now that are not enforced. That's number one.
The NRA lobby neuters every gun policy that you try to enforce.
Secondly, it has been said many times, and you guys probably believe this, is that you can go to a gun show and buy an assault weapon.
Right.
You cannot. When you go to the gun show, you can pay for an assault weapon, you can pay for a gun, but you can't get it right there. You got to go through a background check. Right now,
there are gun show loopholes.
Yeah.
There are very little, if any, gun show loopholes. You have to go through and you have to background check. Some places you have to be fingerprinted, the whole nine yards. So you can't. You also cannot, as the president said, go to Walmart and buy a gun.
Yes, you can.
Hold on. Listen to what I'm saying. Without a background check, without going through the proper...
Depends on the gun.
It does
Depends
not.
Depends on the state and depends
Unless
on the
it's a BB gun.
Gun
you, You can't buy a shotgun at Walmart without going through a background check.
Depends on the state.
So we're going to have to agree to disagree, but I'm telling you, it doesn't exist.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I know
the majority of Americans.
All the guns in Chicago. Chicago has a huge problem with gang violence.
Yeah,
specifically
gun-free
violent
zone.
Crime.
Gun-free zone.
No, wait. It's not because it's a gun-free zone. All right. But there's a huge problem with gun violence in terms of gangs, all
right? Right.
That's all over the place.
Right.
And, I mean, a lot of that
So
has
who's
to do
killing
with
more black people?
Wait. A lot of that has to do with poverty and all sorts of stuff. But the guns, the
Forget
guns
Forget about
aren't
what
coming.
It has to do
the guns
with,
aren't
Kevin.
Fucking coming
Who
illegal?
Is killing black people? Who? I don't
the
care about why.
Black,
I didn't ask
and,
you why. I asked you who we're killing.
Gang members and the police.
Okay. So, who's killing more black people? Come on. Tell
that's
me.
That's debatable.
No, it ain't,
no,
Kevin.
No, it
Kevin,
actually
come
is.
On
it
now.
Depends on
so
where
whether,
you're
so I,
who's
I,
killing more
I,
black
I,
people?
I get
come
what
on
you're
now.
Saying. So, if an effort to get more guns off the street would clearly save some lives, then why would we be opposed to that?
I'm not opposed to responsible people.
Let me
guns.
Tell you why. Let
I
me
want
tell
guns
you why.
Off the street.
Back in the day, way before my time and your time, they took guns away from the freed slaves.
Right.
And then as soon as they did, the KKK, the Democratic KKK, was formed, and they went in and hung and lynched a whole lot of black people because they could not defend themselves.
Granted, yeah.
So today, we probably don't have to worry about that level of stuff happening. However, the fact that we are still free, the fact that we are sitting here discussing this stuff, first world stuff,
mm-hmm.
not third world stuff, is because of our Second Amendment, our First and Second Amendment rights.
Okay.
We have the First Amendment right to have this conversation mm-hmm. and then walk out with still with our heads. Okay?
Totally.
There are some countries, Kevin, that you could not have this conversation.
There are a lot of countries where I would walk in and be executed.
Okay. But here, they light up the White House for you.
Totally. Absolutely.
Sounds like a pretty good deal to me.
Okay. I'm happy that
and,
they...
And guess what?
And it's because
I say this,
we had a
I say this on
White
Facebook
House,
all the
but,
time, and people get mad at me for saying it. But the safest place for you is at a Tea Party meeting.
I don't know about that.
I know you
but,
don't know about it, but I know.
I would say
and I would
I
love
would say
I would
my apartment and I would
I'm gonna
say
send you an invitation. I will protect you. I promise you, I will protect you.
I will go to a Tea Party meeting.
You will?
Add me on Facebook. I will go to
Are
a Tea Party.
Are there still
meeting.
Tea Party meetings?
I don't give a shit. I will go to a Tea
because,
Party
because
meeting.
I just read today how the Tea Party's sort of been exposed as this horrible grifter scheme by
I
a
want,
lot of these packs.
Please, Kevin.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Totally.
I am dead
I will go
serious.
To a Tea Party meeting.
Kevin, please. Come
I will
to a Tea
go
Party
to a Tea Party meeting.
Come to
you.
A Tea Party meeting with me.
I'll podcast live will, from a Tea Party meeting. That would be amazing.
Come to a Tea Party meeting. Let's have a Tea Party meeting right here.
We can't have it here.
All right. Fair enough. Well, I will go to a Tea Party meeting with
okay.
you, and
so,
I will
so
have these conversations.
Reach out to me so we have a contact information.
Yes.
And then... I go to them all the time, so I want to invite you to one. So you
it's
can
going
just...
right in my wallet.
Okay.
I, honestly, like, I will go to your tea party because I'm going to have the conversation, right?
This is good.
Well, Kevin, after you attend this tea party meeting, I hope that you'll come on with us and talk about what that was like.
Hey, hell yeah.
But I'm just fascinated that there are still tea party meetings.
Oh, there's a bunch.
Okay.
There's a bunch. Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Good
and believe
know.
It or not, I've gone to them and I've survived. I survived after I went.
I believe
so,
you.
So what other challenging question do you have?
Well, I want you to get back to talking about some of the things you would do within the community to help the community.
So,
and
okay,
get
so
your specific ideas.
So one thing, I just put out a press release last Monday,
mm-hmm.
and it's a no slavery, no exceptions press release.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, I'm going to get pushback from the Republicans and the Democrats, by the way, because I'm a Republican putting forth this idea, right? If I was a Democrat, then they probably would just have no problem with it.
Okay.
So, in that... bill in that initiative, one of them is right now we have institutional slavery. Now, President Obama just recently is trying to unprivatize the prison system. Have you seen that?
Yes, mm-hmm. I've been following that.
Guess what? This Republican supports that. This, as in Casper, I support that.
This is why I don't understand. Now, you know, because but, I support. I,
look, look.
I
let me let,
so
let me
much.
Let me play a little devil's advocate here, because I've researched this a lot, and there are plenty of Democrats who accept
Opposed.
Lobbying money
yeah.
from
totally.
The private prison
right.
industry.
Right.
It
right.
is a bipartisan problem.
Yeah. Oh, totally, totally. I am not arguing with that. Fucking Hillary Clinton has been involved in that whole thing.
That's
right.
true. She has.
I am
her
husband
not happy
is,
about
not
it.
Her husband,
with that.
Her husband as well.
Absolutely. Bill Clinton is part of the reason that the prison industry is the way that it is in
okay.
this country today.
Thank you for saying that, because seriously, because over there they were blaming every Republican for all the problems. And my point has always
been the Democratic Party.
It's a bipartisan. We have a bipartisan problem here.
Yeah,
totally
okay. agreed.
I am personally, my politics are left of the Democratic Party. Okay. All right, yeah. I vote for Democrats in this country generally because Democrats are the closest I can get. And I will argue sort of why I do that, but what it comes down to, right, is that no matter what we're talking about, that is something that has been put together by Democrats and Republicans. Mm-hmm. It was a the whole tough on crime shit right. that Bill Clinton's presidency
yeah.
pushed
yeah.
through, that was bipartisan.
And the judges were getting kickbacks from putting people in prison.
Yep.
Oh, and it's racist
yeah.
as fuck. Come on.
I
Let's
agree.
Go back to
I agree.
Like, I keep
I'm, But guess
I'm
who these
you,
judges are?
Michelle
they're not,
Alexander's
They're
new
not
Jim
all
Crow.
Republicans. These yeah. judges are especially
totally.
In Denver. Okay.
That's true.
I'm, right?
That's true.
I'm not arguing. Michelle Alexander's New Jim Crow. I swear, you will not disagree with it if you read it. I promise.
Okay.
What this book is about, it's not about some political party agenda. The whole fucking book is talking about the way that after the Civil Rights Amendment, people who wanted to maintain the racist order in this country, mm-hmm. all right, after Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act, found different ways, from the drug war
right.
to, you know, countless other fucking ways
yeah.
to keep black and brown people down in this
right.
country.
Now,
and
now
so
where we disagree, is who those people are.
That's where
we disagree.
I'm not saying that those people are entirely one party or entirely the other. But what I will say,
they
is
are
that
the
when
elite.
Lyndon Johnson,
the
yeah,
elite.
It's the elite. But which party represents more of the elite? The Republican Party.
We're going to have to agree to disagree, because I believe it's predominantly Democrat, because I grew up in that. And I didn't grow up around Republicans. I grew up around Democrats. These were the ones controlling my life. It wasn't the Republicans. There wasn't any Republicans around. So how can I blame someone who's not there? Right? I have to blame somebody who's there. Who's making the laws and the decisions that affect me as I was growing up. And those
so,
were Democrats.
So in that sense, how do you think that more of a Republican orthodoxy does more for communities of color?
So that's a great question. And the answer is not Republican. The answer is not Democrat. The answer is common sense. The answer is...
But you're running as a Republican.
Yes. Oh, and your point? I'm running as a Republican. And if you ran, you'd run as the Democrat. But the question is,
probably.
Would you be looking to do things that worked and were successful in the community, or would you just be doing it just to be doing it?
No, I would be pragmatic.
Okay, mm-hmm. So am I. So when it works, it may be a Democrat idea, but it works and it's good. If it's good, I'm going to support it. For example.
But here's where I agree with you on the polarization problem, right? Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing. You're calling yourself a Republican. I'm a registered Democrat. Right. I disagree with a lot of Democratic shit. I agree with some Republicans. Right. I agree with some Democrats.
Right.
It depends on the fucking
right.
issue,
so,
right?
Yeah.
But you make a lot of sense to me. But you're saying you're voting for Trump, and you're running under a party that right now I cannot in any sense support. And it's because of what that party has become. It's not the party of Lincoln anymore.
I cannot argue that it's not the party of Lincoln that we envision the party of Lincoln to be. As the other guy said, the one I was sitting there before, the short hair guy was here, he's right. So the Republican Party was more progressive, liberal progressive back in the day, because they were the party that freed the slaves. They were the party that fought for civil rights and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where we disagree is how that switched. I don't believe... In fact, no one has been able to prove to me that it was just like this.
Well,
It wasn't like an overnight flip-flop, but it was a pretty quick flip-flop. During Johnson's civil rights, when Strom Thurmond brought all those Southern Democrats into the Republican Party, I challenge you to give me information later on, not tonight, but I challenge you to forward me some information that proves your point. And I will forward you information that proves my point.
I just go back to Strom Thurmond and his people.
Okay, you're talking about one guy.
But he epitomized a whole lot of what the Dixiecrat movement was.
Right. So I have a link that I'm going to send you if you reach out to me.
Okay.
That shows the Democrats of the Strom Thurmond era stayed Democrat their whole life.
A lot of them did, sure.
Yeah, they just died. Yeah. So now their sons and daughters or whatever, who knows what they became.
Look, but the modern core of the Republican Party, especially where they're strongest in the South, have capitalized off of white resentment. I don't think there's much of a debate.
White resentment?
Yes.
What is that?
White resentment of people of color, of immigrants, of LGBT people. And there's a lot of fear-mongering that happens with that. And you can see it at Trump rallies.
And you
could even see it in McCain and Romney rallies.
1960. Here.
Okay.
Here.
I disagree.
Let's do this. All right. Let's look at the electoral map from 1962, 1968.
Don't do it on Google. Do it on Google's in the tank for Hillary. So do it on Yahoo. Yahoo or Bing. Okay. I'm serious, man. If you do a search of Hillary, it's like, oh, she was a flower girl, and she was. And she was the queen of the prom.
She clerked for Republican Congress, senator for however many years in the.
She was very briefly a Goldwater girl, right?
Goldwater, that's who it was. Electoral.
Goldwater was a Republican.
But she wasn't. Because she was reading Saul Alinsky at that. She was reading Saul Alinsky back then.
No, she wasn't. But all right, we're gonna go Wikipedia for all of these.
Your initial question was the difference, or what would I do differently?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So one thing that I've always done, candidate, not candidate, whatever, is I always try to listen. In fact, when I was young, I habitually stuttered.
Okay.
So I didn't talk, but I just listened, and I wound up becoming kind of good at it. And people thought I was quiet because I didn't talk.
Look, this is what I'm trying to pull up, all right? Civil Rights Act of 64, all right? This is the time when Johnson is changing his position, all right? You get red down in the South, in some of the Southern states, because Johnson is changing his position, all right? Because Goldwater is going to keep the established racist order, all right?
Okay.
That's your 64 map.
Okay.
All right. Now this is a time when overt racism is a lot more. This is a time when overt racism is a lot more entrenched in American society, and so they're a little more comfortable voting on racist tendencies. All right. So 64, all blue. You know, pretty comfortable voting for Johnson. All right. Look at 68. It goes to Nixon. The South goes to Nixon. These states, except for Texas, which holds Democrat because of Johnson, it goes for Nixon.
And that proves what?
I'm talking about the fact that the Republican Party changed from the party of progressives to the party of conservatives at the same time that the Democratic Party changed from the party of conservatives.
So progressive liberal California is a part of that mix. So you're telling me Californians all went Republican as well?
California wasn't the same 50 years ago.
No, it wasn't even the same 20 or 30 years
ago. No, not at all. California went for Ronald Reagan twice.
I'd have to do some more research. I see the image of what you're saying, but I'd have to tie all that in together. And I'm not opposed to relenting on this topic. I'm just saying that, you know, that's not how I see it.
And I don't want it to make it a matter of party politics, because it's just like, the fact of the matter is, you know, party politics disgust me, all right? I wish that we could vote for a Republican and a Democrat, you know,
you can.
In two separate elections. Wait, let me.
You can vote for me and then vote for Hillary.
You know, in down ballot and up ballot races, based on who we actually believed in, more, you know, more accurately, because it's not something we can really do, all right? Based on the political system we have. And that's just, I mean, that's just the way that our system is right now, and it sucks, and we need to fix that. But when we look at those two parties, those two primary parties,
right,
you know, what we see is Johnson signs the Civil Rights Act of 64. He says, I'm signing away the South for at least a generation.
And what?
And the South goes red. The South, which has been...
But wasn't Johnson...
Democrats couldn't have won the White House without the South before Johnson. All right? That was always
But Johnson's Democrat, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
So how does it...
Wait.
Okay, so now I'm confused because you said it went red.
It went red after Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act. All right? Before Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act, a Democrat couldn't become the president without the South. He needed the Dixiecrats. All right? The South was the Democratic bastion.
So the whole country, after Johnson did that, the whole country turned racist. Everybody.
No, not the whole country. The whole country has always been racist. Let's not mince words here. All right? I would love to, like, give some fucking beautiful ideal of the
Utopia.
United States, because
yeah.
I believe in the sort of utopic ideal of this country. But this country was built on built on the backs of slaves on stolen native land.
So what happened after that all red, then what happened?
Well, what happened is the South became the stronghold of the Republicans, and a Republican always, every time a Republican runs for president, the South goes red. You know, every presidential race since has had a red South. You have not seen a blue South since Johnson.
Well, no, and you haven't seen a red North either.
No, exactly.
And?
They changed. The progressives, who believed, at least on some level, in greater racial equality, went to the Democratic Party. And again, it creates a weird either-or dichotomy that I fucking hate.
So I keep coming back to the fact that we have a Democratic mayor, we have a Democratic governor, we have Democratic city officials, and it's the Republicans' fault.
What is the Republicans' fault?
Everything.
No, I'm not.
Everything about the black and brown community, the reason why they're struggling, the reason why they're in poverty is Republicans' fault.
I'm not saying that the
problems Whose fault is it?
Directly in Denver are Republicans' fault. I'm saying that
Chicago,
the issue that
Detroit, Milwaukee,
well,
Pittsburgh,
when you talk about Michigan,
Philly,
and you talk about Flint,
New York,
Republican-controlled.
I mean, part of what we're talking about, that the problem that we're talking about is that, you know, you're talking about, all right, city congressional districts are sort of outmatched by state and national.
But not in the city. Who is running the city?
Okay, but who is running the city can only do so much in the system that we have.
In the state.
Let's look at the state. Colorado has most of the last, 20, 30 years, Colorado has had a predominantly Republican legislature. Sure. State legislature.
Not true.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding.
Aurora, we lost the House because a whole bunch of people were like,
That's been recently.
I'm just looking at this.
Just a couple of years ago, the Republicans were in the minority, and that's when the gun legislation was going through
because
the magazine rounds and all that stuff. That was Democrats pushing that through. So
and
that
they
was
were
a Democrat. Yeah. So
the worst because the worst shootings in this country aren't black folks getting in gang shootings in this country. It's white men who get pissed off, get assault rifles, and shoot the fucking hell out of a whole big group of people.
Those numbers don't hold up. Now,
yes, they do.
Hold on.
Mass shootings in this country are white men.
Yes, absolutely. Mass shootings are white men.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, then we agree. But that's not the majority of the number of murders that are happening. I agree that mass shootings are typically white male.
Magazine-sized problems relate to mass shootings.
No.
Mass shootings. No, yeah. You don't need 100 fucking rounds to have a fucking shoot out in the streets. You need 100 fucking rounds to
shoot,
mow down.
I don't shoot out in the street, Kevin. But what I will do is, if my country is being overrun, I will defend my family and my country.
Overrun by what or by who?
Anybody.
Okay.
I don't know anybody.
But okay. But this is the conservative boogeyman. Right? Overrunning.
And you don't have boogeyman, Kevin.
No, look.
You don't have any boogeyman, Kevin.
Look, okay, wait. I may have some boogeyman, okay. But look at what
y'all
the conservative boogeyman
come on
goes
now.
For, all right?
Come on.
Overrunning the country, tyrannical government. But the fucking government has black helicopters and stealth bombers. Who needs a fucking... What's your assault rifle going to do against it?
I want to get back to hearing more about your platform, Kevin.
Okay.
And what you're advocating for.
You know what? How about if we just do this? Here's my platform.
Okay. But I want it in your words, because we got you here on the podcast.
So I'm focused on jobs, veterans, and homelessness. Those are my three key platform issues.
Okay.
Jobs, veterans, and homelessness.
Okay.
So when it comes to homelessness, I studied the problem for over 10 months.
Uh-huh.
I went to every homeless shelter, not every, but most of the homeless shelters in Denver.
Okay.
And I thought, as a Republican, I'm going to ride in on my white horse and fix this problem.
Yeah.
And I started talking to the directors of the homeless shelter. I said, what is the biggest problem that you have here at the shelter? Without fail, 100% said the government is my biggest problem.
Meaning what exactly?
Meaning that I could help 100 more families if the government would allow me to do it.
Okay.
With burdensome regulations, with OSHA standard, I mean, all these different things. Some of these shelters have been around for 100 years. They can't put a transgender bathroom in a shelter of a building that's been
there
for 100 years.
We don't need a special bathroom. I use the ladies' room like anyone else.
I agree.
Okay, so what you're saying is the people that run these homeless shelters say they're overburdened with regulations, things like OSHA regulations and Title IX regulations. And then if they didn't have those constraints, then they would be able to serve a larger number of people.
As far as food, for example, you can't just feed a homeless person. If you hand food out to the homeless person on the street, you're actually violating several city codes and ordinances.
Okay.
Which is fucked up.
Hello?
I want to be able to hand a homeless guy my fucking granola bar without violating any laws.
I know, but that's my point. See, okay. Eventually, you guys are gonna see what I'm saying here, because
and this is why we keep agreeing, right?
Right.
I totally agree with you on all this shit. So, I want to give a homeless person my fucking granola bar.
Right. So, all these shelters said, "Look, if the government got out of my way, I could help 100 more families today if they just stopping me from doing it." If that makes sense.
Okay. So you want to roll back certain numbers of regulations.
Not necessarily. What I want the government to do is to get out of the homeless business. Right now, the government is in the homeless business, and it's big money. The government spends $50,000 per chronic homeless person per year.
On what?
Good question. They spend it on all kinds of programs and different agencies that are supposed to help the homeless.
And you're saying they're not because of inefficiency and overregulation.
It's way inefficient. They're wasting money. They'll have an organization and have a director, six-figure income. Assistant director, six-figure income. A secretary, I mean, all the different people. 10 people in the office to help 5 families.
And you're saying that's because of excessive regulation.
Excessive regulation and the government trying to solve the problem.
Okay. Well, you mentioned veterans. What are some of your
yes.
propositions for helping veterans?
So I'm a veteran. If I get sick, I would not go to the VA hospital.
Okay. See, most veterans would disagree with you on that.
Hold on, I'm not done.
Okay.
So the reason why is because I don't want to stand in line.
Okay.
I want my care now. Most veterans, if they go to VA hospital, they got to stand in line, or they put their name on a waiting list and go home and then get treated a couple weeks later.
Right.
So that is sad. What I want to happen is for the VA to get out of the hospital business. The VA can stay in administration setup, but I want them out of the medical care business. I want for a veteran to have a card, whether it's TRICARE or whatever their card is, and then when they get sick or they need treated, they go to the closest hospital to them.
Okay.
Because a lot of times a veteran has to drive past five hospitals
right.
to get to the VA hospital. Right. I think that's a travesty.
Okay.
They can go to the closest hospital, get treated, and send that bill to Uncle Sam.
Okay.
Uncle Sam's paying for it anyway. So why are we building this cost overrun structure to help more veterans, but we can just have Ann Schutz buy that joker and have them go to the local hospital.
I used to live right across the street from
No, that. I actually agree with you on this, all right? I've been living in Canada for the last few years, all right? You know, single-payer socialized medicine. Mm-hmm. Fucking fantastic situation, all right? You go to any hospital, I pay $150 for health insurance, $150 a month for health insurance there. I go to any hospital, I flash my BC provincial health insurance card, and I don't get any bills, all right?
Yeah.
You know, having veterans be able to flash that fucking thing, having anyone who needs health insurance be able to flash that thing at the hospital, just hand them the thing, they take down the number, they bill the government.
Yeah, and
all
and
right? I think totally agree with you.
I think there's a common sense way to do it.
Hospitals don't work the way they need to work.
Right.
All right? But if we had a system so that you could go anywhere.
So does that answer your question?
And bill the VA.
Yeah.
Totally, I agree with you.
Okay. So, what else?
Well, you tell me.
Okay, so, jobs. So my jobs is an acronym. Mm-hmm. It stands for Jobs, Opportunity, Business, Safety, and Security. Mm-hmm. Any area that has safety and security has more businesses, more opportunity, and more jobs. Any area that doesn't has burnt out buildings, boarded up buildings, depression, the whole
nine yards. So gentrified Five Points has better opportunity for business, right?
For now, but not for black businesses.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't have better opportunity for black businesses.
Right.
I agree with you there.
Yeah.
But gentrified Five Points definitely has better opportunity for businesses.
Right. So Five Points is living out my jobs example. But just not for black businesses, and that's what I'm trying to do.
So how do you create black businesses?
What you do is, first of all, I want to stop the exit of black businesses, mm-hmm. starting with Selman's Records. Mm-hmm. So that's where I draw the line in the sand. I talked about that earlier. Mm-hmm. So once we do that, we create an empowerment. I can't think of the word for it, but we start teaching youth how to start businesses, how to get a job, maintain a job, a better job. So I'm not going to fight $15 an hour. If somebody wants to stand out on the street corner and have a sign $15 an hour, knock yourself out. What I want to do is teach them how to make maximum wage. So I want to teach them
So here's my question, because I like where you're going with this idea of empowerment of youth, of job skills training, mm-hmm. but those things require money. And typically Republicans do not want to spend money on those types of programs.
Typically, you're correct. However, there are current systems in place that we can bring into the community. For example, junior achievement.
Okay.
When I was younger, I went through the junior achievement. Mm-hmm. Junior achievement is downtown Denver, but not in the inner city of Denver. Okay. I mean, it's inner city downtown, but not in the black and brown community.
Totally.
So what I want to do is bring a branch or whatever of junior achievement into the community. So I want those programs in.
But like, you know, you can bring some high school programs in, but if you don't have a system that empowers, all right, you know, I'm a Marxist, but I'm going to concede capitalism here, and I'm going to agree with capitalism for this conversation, all right? And we're going to talk about black and brown businesses and the empowerment of black and brown people through capitalist sorts of means and the gains that can be brought through businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you talk about junior achievement, or you can come up with these different programs. But what can be really done when we're talking about a government, you know, that hasn't supported black and brown businesses, that gentrifies Five Points rather than supporting the growth of
And if I could get you guys to see who gentrified Five Points.
White people.
White Democrats.
Oh, totally. Oh, totally.
Okay.
I do not disagree with you.
Okay.
I do not disagree with you there.
So now.
White Democrats gentrified. Democrats gentrified Five Points.
However.
Because they don't understand that gentrification is a part of systemic racism.
Right. But the Republican is not the answer. So I'm not trying to say Republicans have the answer and Democrats don't. What I'm saying is that neither side is trying to solve the problem. They're both ignoring it or they're exploiting it or whatever, but they're just not working toward the solution. That's what I'm kind of like the bridge between the two. So I'm kind of got my foot in both worlds because
I think our listeners would still like to get a sort of more coherent explanation of then why you're running as a Republican.
So for the
because I still don't for the understand. Fifth time, I've been talking for the to you fifth for time. Like a while now.
It would be nearly impossible for me to run as a libertarian and win.
Okay.
Because there's no support.
Okay. Why not a Democrat?
Hold on. It'd be nearly impossible for me to run as an independent and win because of no support.
Right.
If I would have ran in the primary, I would have gotten, I could have ran in the primary, but I wouldn't have gotten the established support. I would only have maybe gotten the black support, but not any money. So I'd have been just like Chuck. Hold on. I'd have been just like Chuck and maybe $4,000, $5,000, $10,000, whatever. Going up against a machine that has millions. So I wouldn't even get past the primary. So, hold on. So, running as a Republican, and even though I'm black, they support me. They like me. They give me money. Okay, so I have more support. Not as much as I like. We never have as much support as we like. But I got way more support. Thousands, tens of thousands of dollars more support running as a Republican than I would ever get running as a Democrat in the primary. That's
so, so I guess my question then, you know, just listening to all that, just sort of just keep catching all those things, right? My question becomes, are you running as a Republican so that you can get your message heard more than anything? Because let's be honest, all right? I don't wanna be the little bitch here who says like, you know, you have no chance. But like Diana DeGette is a 20-year incumbent who has, you know, wins by 60% of the vote every time, right? She has enormous support, give or take, right? You know, but she's you're not gonna beat Diana again, all right?
Yeah, she's in my seat, Kevin. I don't operate. My mind does not operate on. Let me just run just to kind of just hang out.
But you know. But no, I'm not saying you're running to hang out, all right? What? I'm just saying, all right, you know.
I understand my odds. I understand my odds, but you need to understand that I have one speed. Full steam ahead, I win. Now,
awesome. All right. Okay. But so, mathematically, you're not going to win.
I don't care.
All right.
I don't care.
But just looking at that, all right, saying mathematically you're not going to win. But are you running to make sure that you can be heard? All right. Is part of what you're doing is running as a Republican so that you'll be heard more than as a primary challenger so that you can say Diana DeGette is not helping black and brown people the way that she needs to in
Denver.
There's
no doubt. No doubt whatsoever, what you just said has some validity to it. In other words, what I'm saying needs to be heard by a lot of people.
Whether I
win or not, I agree that I want this message to be heard.
The majority of the platforms that you've presented, I completely agree with. Yeah. And I think that they need to be heard by more people. Yeah. And I don't know as much about Diana DeGette as I should know, and I feel ashamed that I don't.
That's all right.
But the fact of the matter is, right, if she's not presenting those things, and you're coming in as a challenger, and you're offering those things, I am fucking glad that somebody is coming into the general election making those things heard, all right? Saying things like felons deserve to be entirely rehabilitated as citizens after they've served their time.
Right.
Now, totally.
We should make investment into job training and skills.
Just today.
Black and brown communities.
Now, this is going to blow you guys' mind. This is going to blow your mind, okay? Just today, I was talking to the state chairman of the Republican Party, the GOP. There's nobody higher than this guy. His name is Steve House. Nobody higher in the state for the GOP. I presented my my press release about the No Slavery, No Exception. I presented my press release about saving Selma's records. I presented my press release about the felon thing. I did not get a, oh my God, we can't do that. What he said was, this is going to be big. We need to do it. So what I'm saying is that things are changing. Not as fast as we want them to change, but I was telling the other guy over here, it's a travesty to me that I can walk down the street and somebody knows everything about me just by just by looking at my skin color. In other words, they know I'm a Democrat. They know that I'm disadvantaged and all this other stuff. I think that's a travesty. If you guys are walking down the street, I would not say automatically that you're a Republican or Democrat. I don't know until I talk to you.
I mean, I don't know.
Now,
queer ladies like me, we tend to vote Democrat.
I understand. Okay.
Especially if you saw me with my partner, you'd
but you know
say
what?
You
but you know
Democrat.
What? I've talked to, in fact, I have a Facebook friend. I think her name is Shari or Sherry or something like that. Very conservative. Very conservative. But she supports the Democrat Party because she believes the Democrat Party supports her issues as being trans, mm-hmm. transgender. But other than that, loves Second Amendment, loves the Constitution, you know, all these kind of conservative type of things.
Hey, I'm not totally anti-gun. I'm anti, you know, anyone being able to fucking get a gun too easily. I'm
well,
pro.
I know what you're saying, Casper, and you make an important point that, you know, just because somebody identifies as a certain race or sexual orientation
or gender identity,
or gender identity. That they shouldn't necessarily be cast, and they don't necessarily have views that are myopic or.
And that's a form, to me, that's a form of racism as well, to assume that just because I'm one skin color that I'm automatically going to be this or that.
Well, in all fairness, in talking to you, it's not that we saw you here and that you're an African-American man that we assumed you're a Democrat and it's just so weird that you're Republican, but hearing some of your positions, it's a little more it's a little more boggling in that sense.
Yeah.
But we're about out of time here. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank both of you guys. Kevin, just met you. I'm really glad that you sat in and joined our podcast.
Yes,
totally.
And, you know, Casper.
And Kevin's going to a Tea Party meeting with me. That's awesome.
Hey,
that would be amazing.
I might be the first trans lady who goes to a fucking Tea Party
Believe
meeting.
Believe it or not.
Hell yeah.
How much time do we have? I have a quick Uber story.
Just about a minute.
A minute. Okay, so I drive for Uber and Lyft. I go to Charlie's Bar on Colfax, and I pick up a... what do you call it when you dress up but you're not that? You're
a drag queen?
Drag queen. Okay, so he's all dressed up. Gets in the car, he starts to undrag in the back of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Hard night at work, right? Just doing lip syncing stuff.
Right.
So we get to talking just about stuff. We talk about politics, we talk about his boyfriend, all this other stuff. And then he says, you know, I'm probably the first drag queen that you're giving a ride home to. I said, actually, no, you're not. I'm sorry. I've lost track of how many drag queens I've driven home. you know, so I'm not a bigot. I'm not a homophobe. I'm not all the things that people like to try to paint Republicans as. Mm-hmm. I'm different. I'm just like everybody else. I have my fears and concerns and everything. But at the end of the day, I'm me.
Hey, okay. Listen, I've been talking to you for a few hours now tonight. And holy shit. Like, honestly... The Republican part, still, I'm trying to wrap my head around it.
Yeah, yeah.
But most of the time, when you define your positions and I am on board with you. I am totally.
Yeah, there. I want to say, you know what? I don't know if I quite get it. I can't say necessarily that you're going to get my vote, but I really appreciate you coming here to a Jefferson County Young Democrats happy hour and talking to everybody. Mm-hmm. And getting to know us. And you know, much respect for that. I really appreciate it. Appreciate your time.
All right.
And that's going to wrap it up. So here, live podcasting from Shenanigans Bar in Lakewood at the Young Democrats, Democrats Happy Hour. And as usual, stay active, stay tuned, stay involved. Catch us on Twitter, Irreverent Duo, hate mail to irreverenttestimony@gmail.com. And you want to plug your Twitter, your website, Casper?
Casper for Colorado is the word for, F-O-R, Colorado.com.
All right.
Facebook as well, Casper for Colorado.
Okay, check it out. And Kevin, get a hold of me if you actually wind up going to that Tea Party meeting, because I'd love to talk to you about how that went down. All right, stay active, stay tuned, stay involved, and adios.
See ya.